I invite you to turn in your Bibles to the Gospel of John, chapter 9, and we'll be reading verses 1 through 7. I will be reading from the King James Version. The Word of God says, "And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, Neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. When he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle. And he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay and said unto him, Go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. He went his way, therefore, and washed, and came seeing."
Now, as we examine the text that Brother Randy has just read for us a moment ago, we notice that the disciples perhaps do something that we often do. How many times do we see someone, see a situation, and are quick to make an assumption? Well, somebody is in this particular situation, therefore something must have deliberately caused this situation. You can see when the disciples see a man that cannot see, they were quick to assume that something specific had caused this blindness. And so they asked Jesus in verse 2, "Who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Well, as Jesus begins to answer them, you notice Jesus gave an answer in two different ways. First of all, he begins to answer by what he said, and then he begins to answer by example. Jesus said something, and then Jesus did something for this man. And if you were to read throughout the rest of the chapter, you would find that there are more people involved besides Jesus, the blind man, and the disciples. We also encounter the Pharisees, and some of the Jews that begin to be divided as to what happened and why it happened, or even how it happened. But as Jesus first begins his answer in verse 3, Jesus said, "Neither this man nor his parents sinned, but that the works of God should be revealed in him." Now, first of all, we need to understand what Jesus says and what Jesus does not say. When we look at the question, we want to know, does this person sin that caused his blindness? Or rather, was the parents' sin the cause of this man's blindness? You see, that was a common attitude that a lot of people had back then, and perhaps many still do today. If something bad has happened, for example, someone cannot see, someone cannot hear, we're in very dire circumstances, sin must be the cause. But is that the truth? Well, let's see why people understood this way. As we look later in John chapter 9, there in verse 34, as we come down, later, as this man was being ready to be expelled from the synagogue, we're told that they answered and said to him, "You were completely born in sins, and you are teaching us." And they cast him out. Why was he cast out of the Jews, or out of the synagogue? Because the Jews assumed that this man was born in sin. We know there are a lot of people today that have that very idea, that as soon as a person comes out of his or her mother's womb, that person is automatically living in sin. And sometimes, as this person gets a little older, things begin to happen to them. And the things that happen are the result as sin. We learn this from this text by the way people thought, especially in verse 16 of John chapter 9. We're told that some of the Pharisees said, this man, speaking about Jesus Christ, is not from God, because he does not keep the Sabbath. But others said, how can a man who is a sinner do such signs? And there was a division among them. Can you believe that this blind man was not alone? Even Jesus was accused of some by being a sinner. And later in verse 24 of the same chapter, they again called the blind man and said unto him, give God the glory. We know that this man is a sinner. He answered and said, whether he is a sinner or not, I do not know. But one thing I do know, that though I was blind, now I see. There were some that knew, or so they thought clearly, Jesus was a sinner. But the man that was blind said, I do not know, but I do know that I was blind, and now I see. He was not willing to admit that Jesus was a sinner, and rightfully so, because we know that he was not. And if you're interested in another context to see a specific example of someone seeing something and automatically assuming that sin was the cause, you might think about the Apostle Paul himself. We recently have been studying from his encounters throughout the book of Acts, and very near the end of that book, in Acts chapter 28, you'll recall that Saul was in a ship, and eventually that ship came to the island of Malta. And what took place on that island opened the eyes of many individuals to see that that former thought is not correct. We're told, beginning in verse 3 of Acts chapter 28, that when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, a viper came out because of the heat and fastened on his hand. So when the natives saw the creature hanging from his hand, they said to one another, no doubt this man is a murderer, whom, though he has escaped the sea, yet justice does not allow him to live. But he shook off the creature into the fire and suffered no harm. However, they were expecting that he would swell up or suddenly fall down dead. But after they had looked for a long time and saw no harm come to him, they changed their minds and said that he was a god. Well, of course, it was good that they changed their minds, even though they didn't have the right perception about who Paul was. But this goes to prove that just because something happens does not mean that he was a sinner. You see, Paul was put on trial for things that he was accused of, and there were a lot of misunderstandings for who Paul was and what he had done. But just because a viper began to come upon him, therefore something bad was going to happen, perhaps it was going to bite him and kill him, he sinned to cause that to happen. But see, nothing did happen like was expected, and therefore can we honestly say that sin is to blame? Well, I'm sure we all need a clarification, because you'll notice what Jesus did say in John chapter 9 and verse 3. Again, let's reread it. He says, neither this man nor his parents sin, but that the works of God should be revealed in him. Now, what Jesus is not saying that this man sinned, or that his parents sinned. In fact, we understand from Romans chapter 3 and verse 23 that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But remember, the question was asked, who sinned that he was born blind? Jesus is answering the question that sin did not necessarily cause that man's blindness. And so, as Jesus begins to answer that question, notice then his words in verse 4. I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. The night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. And then he begins in verse 6 to spit upon the ground and make clay with the saliva. And he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay. And he said to him, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is translated sent. So he went and washed and came back seeing. Jesus knew why this man was blind, because it was an opportunity for the work of God to be seen. Jesus said that sin did not cause it. And then he begins to do something to heal this man of his blindness that allows others to see that truly Jesus does come from God. You see, everything Jesus did had a purpose. When we go back to the Gospel of John, we can see many examples of the things that Jesus did and the reasons behind them. For example, look with me now in John chapter 5. I like for us to begin here in verse 17. John chapter 5 and in verse 17. You'll recall the Jews were having a discussion with Jesus, and there were things that Jesus did that the Jews did not quite understand. Jesus answered them and said here in John 5:17, "My Father has been working until now, and I have been working. Therefore, the Jews sought all the more to kill him, because he not only broke the Sabbath, but also said that God was his Father, making himself equal with God." See, a lot of people didn't understand that Jesus truly is the Son of God. But as we continue to read, Jesus is going to prove that he is. And so in verse 19, Jesus answered and said to them, "Most assuredly I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he sees the Father do, for whatever he does, the Son also does in like manner. For the Father loves the Son, and shows him all things that he himself does, and he will show him greater works than these, that you may marvel. For as the Father raises the dead and gives life to them, even so the Son gives life to whom he will. For the Father judges no one, but has committed all judgment to his Son, that all should honor the Son just as they honor the Father. He who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him." God the Father sent Jesus his Son to do his work. And as Jesus claims that he raises the dead back to life, he can heal the sick, or in this case, as we're looking at the man that is blind, allow him to see, people will marvel, knowing that there is something very special about this individual. After all, this individual claims and proves that he is the Son of God. Later in John chapter 5, as we come down to verse 36, Jesus would say that "I have a greater witness than John's. For the works which the Father has given me to finish, the very works that I do bear witness of me that the Father has sent me." You can see clearly what Jesus is doing. You cannot deny the fact that your eyes clearly see. A lot of times we hear people say, "Are my eyes playing tricks on me? Do I really see what I'm seeing? Is this correct? Am I perceiving this?" Well, imagine what it would have been like to see with your own eyes exactly what Jesus did. And as the works bear witness that, yes, this is Jesus, God's only begotten Son, that are doing them, we have to come to the conclusion that Jesus must be God's Son. Jesus must be sent from his Father to carry out his work. Later in John chapter 10, there in verse 25, Jesus answered and said to them, "I told you, and yet you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me." See, there are some that still do not believe Jesus, not only based upon what he said, but also what he did. And as Jesus goes on to plead to them, later in verse 37 of John chapter 10, he says, "If I do not do the works of my Father, do not believe me. But if I do, though you do not believe me, believe the works, that you may know and believe that the Father is in me and I in him." Can you imagine the Jews and the Pharisees discussing amongst themselves who Jesus is when Jesus heals this blind man? Allowing the blind man to see. They may not believe Jesus, but they cannot deny the works of Christ. And if you'll recall, at the conclusion in John's Gospel, he tells us that truly did Jesus many other signs in the presence of his disciples that are not written in this book. But he says, these are written that you might believe, and that by believing, you may have life in his name. Jesus proves who he is, and I've got to believe in that. And imagine if I truly believe Jesus to be the Christ, the Son of God, what will I see? What will I understand? The case was proved a couple chapters later in John chapter 11. You'll remember that Lazarus was a dear friend to Jesus, whose sisters Mary and Martha went to him and pleaded that he would come back. But alas, by the time Jesus came to them, Lazarus had already died. And in the course of a conversation, Jesus said in verse 4 of John chapter 11, "This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it." Well, that might be hard to understand, because wasn't Lazarus already dead? How can he say these things? But again, notice Jesus' purpose, that the Son of God may be glorified through it. Jesus was about to do something to prove his very nature. And as the chapter unfolds, we begin to see that Jesus is just about to raise Lazarus from the dead. And so with that course of conversation that he has with Martha, as we come down then to verse 38, Jesus again, groaning in himself, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone lay against it. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of him who was dead, said to him, "Lord, by this time there is a stench, for he has been dead 4 days." And Jesus said to her, "Did I not say to you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God?" This is a true test of faith. Does she truly believe in Jesus, who he is and what he is able to do? And then as Jesus raises Lazarus from the dead, imagine the glory of God that will be seen through that very act. You may remember, if you were here not very long ago, we talked about in the Old Testament how the children of Israel were told that they would see the salvation of the Lord and the things that would come to us, perhaps what we might see with our own eyes, that we would be delivered unto God. But it all comes down to the message that Jesus is proclaiming. We've got to believe that Christ is the Son of God. But yet, there is another claim that Jesus makes who he is. Back in our text in verse 5, Jesus said, "As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." Jesus is the light of the world. And as John is the author of this gospel, there were many times in which John claimed that Jesus truly is the true light from heaven. This goes back to the very beginning. In the very first chapter, in the first verse, John says these words, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, and all things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it." Does that sound like what's happening with the Jews, with the Pharisees, even perhaps with the disciples? Those that are living in a dark world, when Christ, the true light from heaven, came, they do not understand it. John goes on to say in verse 6 of chapter 1 that there was a man sent from God whose name was John, and this man came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light which gives life to every man coming into the world. by seeing the works that Jesus did. They could believe that, yes, He is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing they may have life through His name. It all ties together. But sadly, there were some that do not believe. And when we try to focus our minds as, how can that happen? How can people not believe in who Jesus is? Jesus gives us an answer. In John chapter 3, there in verse 19, notice what He says. You'll recall in this chapter, Nicodemus comes to Jesus by night, asking Him how can he do those things because he understands God must be with him. In response to that question, here in John chapter 3 and verse 19, Jesus goes on to explain that this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. Jesus points out, oh, we live in a very, very dark world. There are things that people are doing. And when light comes to expose the things that are in darkness, what happens to the things that are in darkness? We do not like the light. And so darkness tries to hide, it tries to cover up. It's interesting that if you've ever been exploring in caves, hear a lot of stories about bats, you know that bats like to live in dark places. And as soon as it gets light, what happens? Well, if they are in something that is very bright, they'll hide, they'll scurry and try to get back into a dark place. And imagine how people would be when Christ comes into the world. We know that darkness is often associated with sin, light being associated with righteousness. And when people are doing things that Christ knows about and can expose, it's hard to reject the truth because people do not want to quit doing what they're doing. They do not want to accept the responsibility of change. And perhaps they may just not even believe in Jesus Himself that He is the true light. But you see, that's something that we have to do. Later in the Gospel of John, chapter 12, there in verse 44, notice what Jesus says. John chapter 12 and in verse 44. Then Jesus cried out and said, He who believes in me believes not in me, but in him who sent me. And he who sees me sees him who sent me. I have come as a light into the world, that whoever believes in me should not abide in darkness. And if anyone hears my words and does not believe, I do not judge him, for I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world. He who rejects me and does not receive my words has that which judges him. The word that I have spoken will judge him in the last day. For I have not spoken on my own authority, but the Father who sent me gave me a command what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that His command is everlasting life. Therefore, whatever I speak, just as the Father told me, so I speak. We've got to truly believe Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. He is the true light that has come from heaven. And if I believe in Him, He has the power to give me everlasting life. That's why it's so important. But you see, it's not enough just to believe in Him. I've also got to do whatever He says. In John chapter 8, there in verse 12, Jesus said very plainly again, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. Are we willing to follow Christ? Not walking in darkness, but rather have the light of light. You see, if Jesus is the light of the world, He is doing the work of God, and if we are to follow after Him, therefore we have to walk in the light. We have to do the work of God. And therefore, there is a process of how we do these things. In John chapter 12 and in verse 36, Jesus said something that was very interesting to the people of then, but also could apply to us today in a certain way. Let's see what he says. John chapter 12 and verse 36. Jesus says, "While you have the light, believe in the light, that you may become sons of light." These things Jesus spoke and departed and was hidden from them. Imagine that. While they have the light, they must believe in that light. Well, while Jesus was on this earth, he was the true light from heaven, but he was only here for just a little while, was he not? And earlier in verse 35, he said, "A little while longer, the light is with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness overtake you, for he who walks in darkness does not know where he is going." The light was only going to shine for a little while, and then after Jesus completed the task for him to do, we'd go back into heaven. And so, if we are to follow him, first of all, we have to believe in him that we may become sons of light. We go through that process, believing that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, then becoming a child of God and keeping his commands. You could see how we would be where Christ is. And that's why John wrote in 1 John chapter 1 and in verse 7, "Walk in the light, as he is in the light. If we do so, he says, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin." Remember earlier we learned that Jesus has the words of everlasting life. If we follow him, keep his commandments, walking in the light as he is in the light, we're getting there. He will allow us to have that everlasting life. And if we walk in the light, it has a great benefit. Have you ever tried to walk in the dark? If you've ever gotten up in the middle of the night, you need a midnight snack, need something to drink, well, I can't seem to find the light switch, and I can't wait that long before I have to rush to the bathroom, you can easily trip and stumble over things, can't you? You can't see. You can stumble. You might fall. You might hurt yourself. But Jesus said in John chapter 11, there in verse 8, when the disciples said to him, "Rabbi, lately the Jews ought to stone you, and are you going there again?" Jesus answered in verse 9, "Are there not 12 hours in the day? If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble, because he sees the light of this world. But if one walks in the night, he stumbles, because the light is not in him." Not only can we see this from a physical perspective, we need to see this from a spiritual perspective. As long as we're walking in the light as he is in the light, there is no cause for stumbling. We can see where we're going because Jesus is the true light. That's why we read his word to know our way. The psalmist said, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, and a light into my path." All we have to do is follow after Christ. And if we do so, just like Jesus had a purpose, so do we. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and in verse 31, "Whatever we do, do all to the glory of God." Isn't that what Christ did? The works that he did was for the glory of God. That people would know that Jesus was sent from God? What about you and what about me? Are we sharing that good news of Jesus Christ? There's a lot of work to do in God's kingdom. There's also a lot of work to do in a dark world. We need to show people who Christ is. We need to bring others to him. After all, that's what the blind man did. Can you believe it? After Jesus healed him of his blindness, he was approached by the Pharisees and the Jews. There was a division that arose of how he was made well. You see, the rest of the story tells us that he began to believe in Christ once he realized who Christ is. We have to finish what we started. Let's go down now to John chapter 9, and this time in verse 35. John chapter 9, and in verse 35. Jesus heard that they cast him out. And when he had found him, he said to him, "Do you believe in the Son of God?" He answered and said, "Who is he, Lord, that I may believe in him?" And Jesus said to him, "You have both seen him, and it is he who is talking with you." Can you imagine how those words must have felt? You have both seen him. He was formerly blind. He could not see anything. Jesus healed him and gave him a chance to see him. And also he admitted that it is he who is talking with you. Then in verse 38 he said, "Lord, I believe." And Jesus said, "For judgment I have come into this world, that those who do not see may see, and that those who see may be made blind." Not only physically could Jesus heal the blind that they could see, but also from a spiritual sense. Those that cannot see do not understand and make the connection of who Christ is, what love God had for them, and how Jesus gave his life that they may be saved. They have a chance to understand. And perhaps those that think they understand certain things may be blinded even more. This statement hit home with the Pharisees, because in verse 40, some of the Pharisees who were with him heard these words and said to him, "Are we blind also?" Well, physically, we know that they could see, but they understood something a little bit more. And therefore, Jesus responds to them in verse 41, "If you were blind, you would have no sin. But now you say we see. Therefore, your sin remains." The true light was in a dark world, but still they could not see. They claimed to see, but as Jesus says, your sin still remains. What if we are in that particular occasion? Would this apply to us? Could we say that we are blind too? Or do we also see? Well, later Jesus says something very interesting about that. In John chapter 15, beginning in verse 22, I'll leave you with these words. Let's hear what he says himself. John chapter 15 and verse 22. "If I had not come and spoken to them, they would have no sin. But now they have no excuse for their sin. He who hates me hates my Father also. If I had not done among them the works which no one else did, they would have no sin. But now they have seen and also hated both me and my Father." It's sad that some still do not believe Jesus is truly the Christ, the Son of God. That truly God sent his only begotten Son to live a sinless life, to die upon the cross and to be buried, to be risen again, to give us that hope that our sins could be washed away and that by believing in Christ, we can have everlasting life. Just as the man that was born blind had a job to go and to share others the things that happened to him, that they too may believe in Jesus Christ, so do you and so do I. We all have a responsibility. We have a very dark world that needs to come to the light. We need to show them who God is, how much he loves us, about his Son, Jesus Christ. Therefore, let us see Christ, the true light. let us believe in Him that He is the only begotten Son of God. Let us repent of the sins that we have committed, been baptized for the remission of our sins, confessing our faith in Him, and therefore, as we live the faithful Christian life, let us do the work that He has called us to do. This morning, we're about to sing a song of encouragement. If there be one today that needs to respond to that invitation, if you need to do the work that God has called you to do, won't you do so as together we stand and sing.